Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Sue's going to be doing the major part of this morning as well, so you're just getting me for a little short time, which will be a great relief to most of you, I know. Let me read from Matthew chapter 18, if you have a Bible and want to follow in it. I'm reading from the NIV, New International Version, not nearly inspired version, as some people call it. And so it's Matthew 18 and verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little children, these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 100, about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. May God help us as we think for a while about those verses this morning. There was a little girl, and a little girl called Lucy, and she was celebrating her fifth birthday. And she was really enjoying this fifth birthday party of hers, and her mum told her at the party, she said, "Now look, Lucy," she said, "if anyone asks you how old you are, you can spread out five fingers and you can say, I'm five." And the little girl said, she thought for a moment, and then she said, "So, mum, I'm now a handful, am I?" Well, probably yes, and probably every child at some stage is a handful. And if you can remember that far back, you were a handful as well. But not as much as a handful as you are now as an adult. Because we don't improve in that area at all. And here in Matthew 18 and verse 10, Jesus goes back. He sort of returns to the theme that the chapter started with, which is the theme of little ones. And he says to them, as he talks to them, he says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones." Because Jesus is concerned that we recognize that children matter. And the word he uses, "see," here is from a verb form, and it means a concentrated effort. Jesus is saying, look, I want you to not just look at these kids and look away. I don't want you just to sort of glance at them and think, yeah, children. I want you to think hard about what you're seeing in these little ones. And the word "for" gives the reason why Jesus says that to the disciples and the people around. Because of the angels, Jesus says. Because of the angels. Now, it's interesting, that is, because what is suggested by that, their angels in the text, what is suggested or hinted at is that there are guardian angels. And I suppose you could derive that from the text. The problem comes when you try to prove it from other scriptures or support it from other scriptures. But it's there, so you have to deal with it, and we have to deal with it. And it can be a hint that there are special guardian angels over not only children but each one of us. But it's hard to prove from scripture. But what it is saying, what Jesus is saying to us is this, that children matter. That children matter. They matter to you, they matter to me, and above all, they matter to Jesus. They matter because Scripture affirms it. Child, the word child is mentioned 121 times in Scripture. Children are mentioned 448 times. And then children and family-related words are mentioned over 8,000 times in Scripture. And when something is repeated in Scripture or emphasized in Scripture, it's a challenge to us to say, why is it there? Why is it there? Children are important. They matter to God. Children are important because they are spiritual persons. The Rachel and all the other children we've seen going out, that was a tremendous exodus. It's a great joy to our hearts to see so many children in our church. And they matter to God because they are spiritual persons. When God made the covenant with Abraham that all the nations of the world will be blessed through him, that included children. That included children. And children are created in the image and likeness of God. So they have worth and dignity in the eyes of God and before God. And children can understand spiritual things. That's why we teach them biblical truths here at Twynham Church for the Community, because we know that they're spiritual beings. They can receive and understand spiritual truth. And children can praise God, and they can pray, and they can know the gifting of God, and they can give to the work of God, and they can encourage and serve and share the truth of God as well. Children matter to God. And children, and God hears the cries of children. He hears their cries. And the cries of persecuted children throughout the world, I think, break the heart of God again, as it did on the cross. God hears the cries of children. And not only that, children matter to God because they're susceptible and vulnerable. You see, children are in every community. They're in every culture. They're in every country in the world. And they're in every conflict in the world, as Gina's reminded us already this morning. Children are in all levels of society, and they have special needs, and they are specially vulnerable. We all hate when we hear about children being trafficked in the sex trade. We hate that. Children being abducted and children being kidnapped. Children are vulnerable. But there are some other factors which are startling as well. 91 million children go to bed hungry at night. 15 million children at least are orphaned through the AIDS epidemic in our world. 500 million children have no proper toilet facilities. 246 million children are involved in child labour. Children matter to God because they're susceptible and because they're vulnerable. Jesus said, see, concentrate your efforts, concentrate your attention on children, because they matter. And not only that, children matter because they're special to God. They're special to God. There was a little girl, and she was asked her name, and she would always reply, I am Mr. Johnson's daughter. So her mum said to her, no, that's wrong. You should reply, I am Jane Johnson. So the little girl thought about that, and when she was in church the following Sunday, she was talking to the vicar, and the vicar said, aren't you Mr. Johnson's daughter? And she said, I thought I was, but Mum says I'm not. They're special, aren't they, children? Didn't you love it when Rachel was waving to and showing her underwear to us all? You know, she'd been down to Primark again, and there's something special about it, isn't there? Children are so special. And when I look at our youngest granddaughter, India Rose, I don't see weakness, but I see potential. I see potential. And she's only one. And she's very small and very sort of helpless, as it were. But I see potential in her, not weakness. And to me, nothing is as wonderful and as precious and as special as the giggles and laughter that we share with our grandchildren. There's something special about that. Something very special about the laughter of a child. I don't know if you have the privilege of being amongst children when they laugh, but it's a great joy to my heart. And children are special. And I was thinking, just as I draw this to a conclusion, when Shakespeare's mother, that's a sort of a picture of Shakespeare, or a painting of Shakespeare's mother that we think is accurate. When Shakespeare's mother was walking, carrying William Shakespeare in her white shawl through the lanes of Warwickshire in 1564, I wonder if she realised she was carrying Hamlet, Othello, Romeo and Juliet, Julius Caesar, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Because she was, wasn't she? The potential in that little boy in her arms. And I wonder if when Sir Christopher Wren's mother was carrying him, whether she realised she was carrying in her arms the plans for St Paul's Cathedral. I wonder whether James Watt's mother realised as she was carrying him, she was carrying steam engines in her arms. Did the mothers realise the potential of the child they were carrying? And what we all have in common with those people is that we were once children. And Hitler was once a child. And Stalin was once a child. And their mothers carried them. There's potential in children. There's potential. And I wonder if the mothers realise the potential of the children they were holding. I guess it's impossible to realise what might happen to a child and what a child might be. That's why here at Twynham Church for the Community, we want to instil into them the truth of Scripture, that they might grow up to be the people of God. And even now, as all those children went out, just think of the potential there. Because potentially, amongst those children that went out, there might be a future Prime Minister of England who might be so gifted politically, he can bring us back to some kind of parliamentary common sense again in this nation. To put politics back at a level of integrity that we can believe in. We can believe in. In that group, there might have been a future potential Billy Graham, who's going to preach to the world of their day the truth of the gospel. There might be a potential Nobel Prize winner in medicine who will ultimately find the cure for cancer and other awful diseases. We don't know, do we? We just see them as children going out. What potential? What potential? And so children are special, and it's important that we recognize that we see, have a concentrated effort on them when we're bringing up our children. Sue, it's over to you.
I have to underline that in all the bringing up of children, whether it's in family, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the environment that we live in, Doug and I are no perfect examples. Amen. I must underline that. But we actually know someone who is. And it's just amazing as we look at this word, do not look down on little children. We have the perfect example in God himself. Imagine him looking down on our world today. And he certainly looked down after sin entered the world and broke the relationship with God, because he intended to walk and talk and be with us all the time like he was at first with Adam and Eve. But then sin completely obliterated that relationship and blew it apart and separated us. And that's why in the Old Testament we so often see a distant God who people don't understand and are scared about. But as Jesus looked down on his children, we're all his children, he knew he had to come down to be alongside us. And we see how Jesus clothed himself as a human being. He was born, he was in childhood, he went through school, and I'm sure he was bullied, because children always who do the right thing are bullied, aren't they? Teens, 20s, a carpentry apprenticeship. And he was behind the scenes for 30 years because he came down to us. And it's so important to remember that we should not look down on children. That doesn't mean to say, obviously, I brought Isabella up so she was more level with me. So often they are smaller than us, but we've got find ways down to their level through parenting and working with children in a churches up in London, and especially in this church here. I've been so thankful for it. I have learnt so much by my mistakes. And in the neighbourhood too. God, as we follow his perfect example of how he came down alongside us, he shows us his opportunities. Can you remember feeling down and someone looking down on you and feeling very vulnerable as a child? I can remember a particular occasion, and I was very naughty. I was very into everything. But this occasion, my mother was looking down on me, but it was my fault. I must have got to the age where a friend could be invited around, and my parents were going out. So we had the evening together. It was very exciting. We had to go to bed at a certain time. And my mother had said, I've locked everything up. Don't answer the door to anyone. So we were both in bed and we were having great fun. And suddenly I heard the sliding kitchen window slide up. And we both held our breath. Someone was breaking in. And then I heard someone getting in through onto the table downstairs. Now, fear never cripples me. I jump into action. And I'd opened the window. It was dark. I was out of the window climbing down the drain pipe. And I thought, who on earth has broken in? And I saw the light going in my bedroom. And suddenly, it was my mother looking out through the window. Susan, what are you doing? But I'm so thankful she not only looked down, she gradually lifted me up. I climbed up the drain pipe, got through the window, and she actually listened to the fear we'd had. And she realized it was her mistake that she hadn't locked the window. And she apologized. It's so important that we first of all realize that bringing up children, whether it's in the family, whether it's in the church, all the things we do, it's been so exciting working in this church with children. Wherever it is, it's important that we do not look down on them. I learned so much through bringing up children through God's way. Asking his opportunity, looking into scripture how he brought children up in front of everyone. When he was saying these words, do not look down on little children, it wasn't just the parents. It was some of the disciples who certainly didn't have any children. And it was lots of people in all walks of life. We all have a responsibility to bring up children and to encourage them. So let's look at some of the things that God shows us through scripture and through his life down here that will help us. First of all, we need to get down to their level. I learned through Busy Bees and Mums and Babes so many things in the early days and in later days as well. How we get down on their level without realizing it. There's Sybil at the door when we first started Mums and Babes down here. And you could see, yes, she was there for the mums, but the children used to run in because she was down to their level. Joy Horsford used to be sitting here near this door where they weren't allowed through. And sometimes she had to tell them off. But because she was down close to them, they saw her face. They knew she loved her. Little Mia, our granddaughter, who came before she started school, she just loved them. And you could see their faces light up, particularly when people were sitting down. But I shall always remember when we first started Busy Bees. It was nothing spiritual to do with me. I thought we'd have some keep fit to start with to wear them out before the story. But very quickly, as I got down on the floor with them, and I've learnt this in the Middle East too, you get right down to their level and you're eye to eye with them, you're face to face with them, and suddenly I could see by their faces I was one of them. And they listened and they did what I did and they were excited. And we need to find ways. We can't all get down on the ground. We can't all be bending right down. But God shows us incredible ways of sometimes picking up children, sometimes talking to them, listening to them. It's done me the world of good speaking with Isabella in preparation for that very short little interview, finding out what turns her on. And it's incredible, all the things, her face lit up when she talked about Joseph and Technicolor Dreamcoat. What's the name of the hall down? The Regent Centre, that's where she's performing. And she's performed in the Albert Hall too, hasn't she, Asha? And her little face lit up, and yet she was so shy. But my word, what opened her up? And God shows us ways of getting down to children's level. And it's so important that we do that. but we also need to get down to listen to them. Sometimes they can drive us up the wall with all the noise, can't they? But we need to listen to them. There's a wonderful two verses in Psalm 116. The first two verses, it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. This is David, the psalmist. And yet I read in a psalm this week a little earlier on, don't turn a deaf ear to me. And he's discovered here, God never turns a deaf ear to him. He said, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry of mercy because he turned his ear to me. There's a wonderful picture here. If we're going to turn our ear to children, we do have to get down to them, or we do have to lift them up to listen to what they have to say. Sometimes God slows us down to listen. Do you know, sometimes I hate those times when through perhaps health or an operation or a crisis in the family, we have been slowed down and I get so annoyed. And it was a few years back here in this area when I knew I had to slow down for my mother. She was coming to live with us after my father died, and I wanted to be alongside her like she had been for her mother. And she came to live with me, and the practicalities started working out. She didn't want me racing around the house doing things. Come and sit with me. And I needed to listen to my mother, but I also needed to listen sitting in the same place in that second row every Sunday at church. She was in a wheelchair, so I had to sit there. And it was a bit frustrating at first. But then gradually God showed me why he slowed me down. Because there were three boys and a girl sitting in front of me every Sunday. I'd actually heard about them. How naughty these boys were. What a lot of noise they made. And it was very difficult to teach them. And as I sat behind them, I thought, I've got to think of something. Nothing spiritual. We just had a still head competition. And because there was a prize afterwards, they sat so still. And it gave me an opportunity to speak to their sister, Sarah. And she told me how that she played a recorder. And I was so excited about it. And then she said, I play it silently. It helps me with what my fingers do. And I said, you play a recorder silently? What on earth do you do that for? And then very slowly, with the three boys' heads still very still, she said, well, our dad is very ill. And in such a mature way, she explained how her dad was in hospital, having had a major operation of cancer. And when he came out with all the different treatments he'd had and the chemotherapy, they had to be so quiet in the house because he was so ill. And that's why she played her recorder silently. And suddenly I discovered why those three boys were so noisy when they came here. Suddenly they were set free. They didn't have to be quiet. Now, I know it was tough for teachers, but you know, when you get to find out what's behind behaviour and why a person is the way they are, it's so important to listen and to understand. Then we need to get down, not only to their level, not only to listen, but also to learn from them. I've already said how I learnt from the child's boys. There are many more now. And James is still with us, even though he was told he would have a very short time. God really healed part of his area when we prayed for him as a church, like little Isabella prayed. There is such power in the prayers of children and when they speak to us, and we need to learn and understand and take time. Another area that God has shown me through the years, I never knew about a little one who grew up in Scotland because I lived down on the coast and up in London. She grew up in a very dysfunctional family. She was abused. She was turned out. She ended up on the road. And she ended in crime in a very early age and ended up in the Caunton Vale prison in Scotland. I knew nothing about that, but God did. One weekend when I was up in Scotland, I was at a conference up there. They asked me if I'd go and speak at Caunton Vale prison. Well, I love new opportunities, but I'd never been in prison before. And I was quite excited. I said, so what do you want me to do? They said, well, it's a two-hour God slot. 2 hours? Preaching? They love to get out of their cells, and I understand that. But I said, could I do some Keep Fit, first of all? Because I'd found the great parallel between physical fitness and spiritual fitness. And you get to know people. And so if I could do some Keep Fit first, and then I'll share spiritual fitness. And as I went into this prison, I tell you, I had the greatest time ever, the greatest Keep Fit. I forgot I was in prison. They forgot I was from outside. It just leveled us all off, and we had lots of laughter and lots of fun. But I did notice this one particular lady, younger than the rest. She didn't talk to anyone. She never laughed. And as we got to the end and I shared my relationship with Jesus, afterwards we had some questions and they were all asking them, but she didn't. And then they were told to go back to their cells. And they all got up to go out, except this one young lady. And she started to come towards me. And the wardens who'd been in that area, I noticed, had been watching her very carefully. And suddenly as she approached me, they moved up to be alongside me. And she said, the little lass said, can I talk to you? So I said, yes, if that's all right. And I looked towards the wardens. They said, that's okay, we will be here. And she started asking me questions. And she pointed to the sun outside. It's gone in now, which is a shame. But she pointed to the sun outside. She said, someone's got to have made that. Can't just happen with a bang, can it? I thought, well, that's great. First time I'd heard her talk. Bit of wisdom. And then she said, and Jesus is a fact of life, isn't he? Like Julius Caesar? So I said, yeah, that's great. And then she went very silent. And the wardens moved a little closer. And then she said these words, which have stuck with me ever since. But that he loves me, you must be joking. That child, as she'd grown up, had never known love. She'd never known acceptance. She'd never known security. And every time she was released from prison, she did something else to get back in, because it was the only security she knew. I had a long, long chat with her. I'd love to say that lass came to know Jesus. God knows about it, and I've prayed for her ever since. But we need to learn and understand from children. We won't have necessarily those extreme things that we have to listen to, but we need to study them and ask God to open up our eyes to see what he wants to show us. And we need not only to get down to their level, to listen, to learn, but to love them. Do you know, love is such a practical word, not just an airy-fairy romantic word. It is to love them and to get down, to understand and get alongside the things that bring them alive. And sometimes that costs. Going fishing for me costs, as many of you know, because I've shared it before, with my son picking up a fish and just dropping it in the water. I didn't understand it. I didn't talk to him all day. So if that's supposed to be loving, I wouldn't have thought it was. But actually, it was joining in with something he wanted to do. And that happened just the other day when I was preparing what I was going to say. And I like to speak it out. And I was speaking it out in the kitchen with the dinner going and the washing machine going. And I was going through everything I was trying to say. Suddenly the phone rang. It was the only few hours I had to finish off what I was going to say. And I thought, oh dear, who's this? Picked it up. It was my son, in his 40s now. Can you have Mia? I've got to go to the chiropractor's. And my initial feeling was, no, I've got to do this sermon. And then I thought, getting down to understand, getting stuck in. this little one was going to come to me. And I love her coming normally. And she came along and God showed me how he has just what we need. Because I needed a break from it all. I needed to literally do something about it. So it lifted me out of it. And Mia and I had a great time. She taught me a new game that I'd never had. And it's important to raise children up and show that they can teach you something. And I spent hours with her. And it made all the difference. So we need to get down to love them. Because Jesus did that for us. And we know how he did it in a very powerful way. For God so loved the world. He loves you and me. We're his big kids. We're his children. He loved us so much that he came down. But whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's quality life as well as quantity life. And he wants to show us how he had time for big kids. Look at him with Zacchaeus up in the tree. Zacchaeus was a big kid. He was hated because of his tax collecting. But he looked up to him and said, come on, I need you, Zacchaeus. I want to come and have a cup of tea. Imagine how that raised him up. And we need to find opportunities to do that. And the lady who was by the well, avoiding everyone because she was immoral and no one would ever speak to her. He came right to her, sank onto the well, and this is God Almighty, absolutely shattered at midday, needing someone to give him a drink. And he raised her up and said, I need you, please, could you give me a drink? He was so practical, and then he died for each one of us. And this is why in that verse, those verses that Doug started off with at the beginning, Jesus leaves for the one that's lost. So let's remember the last thing, never let go. If you feel some of your children have left you, don't leave them. Stick by them. God is always working behind the scenes. Let's just talk to him now. Father, thank you that you are the perfect example in bringing up children in our families, in our church, in our neighborhoods. Father, thank you so much. And we ask that you'll open up our eyes for what you're going to bring across our path today and in the future years to encourage children. And I ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.